All right. It's about 1:30 on a Tuesday. The calendar date is April 9th, 2013. And on this tape, you will hear the stories of Jackie Mosher. She is the one speaking. And occasionally, you're going to hear the voice of the interviewer, Bonnie Evans. That's me. We are taping this interview at Jackie Mosher's home. She lives in Jackson. We want to thank you, Jackie, for participating in the Amador County Living History Project. We appreciate your willingness to preserve our county's history by sharing memories. This conversation is being tape recorded, and the tapes will be made available to the public without charge. If you share something during the next hour that you regret saying on tape, we will make every effort to remove it before it's posted on the website. So for those who are listening, we were chatting for a few minutes before we turned the tape recorder on, and Jackie's family has been here, her grandchildren, for seven generations.
Great-grandchildren,
seven generations. So we have lots of people, lots of stories, lots of wonderful, rich history. And it is difficult to understand exactly where to start and how to weave all of these players together. But we discussed this beginning with Amanda Nichols, who came to the area about 1857. Would she be your great-great-grandmother?
Yes.
Great-great-grandmother. Yes. So we're going to go ahead and start with her, and we'll see where the story takes us. So introduce us to Amanda from Georgia.
Okay, so what I know about Amanda is that she was married in Georgia to a Jackson Nichols who came from South Carolina. And they had 8 or 9 children, and they must have left somewhere in the 1850s to come to California. They did not bring their oldest daughter. She had one child in Missouri, and when they were in the Oklahoma Panhandle, her husband Jackson was killed by Indians.
Oh.
So she continued on in a wagon train with the rest of her children, having her last child born, and his name was James Nichols, in Jackson Valley. So when they got there, from what I know of the story, they were very, very hungry, and she sent the oldest boys out to find a neighbor to see if they could find some food. And they came back with potatoes they got from the Courtright family. And one of her children, they started running cattle. They had a cattle ranch. And from what I could understand, she was one of the first women to run cattle up in the high country, which means the cattle drives that went up the roads.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she has a side saddle and a wooden writing desk that were in the Amador County Museum.
Oh.
I saw them in the 70s when my daughter was in Scouts. I've not ever seen them since. But one of her sons, Wesley, who was one that made the trip with her from Georgia, married Eliza Jane Goss. And Eliza Jane's father came from Maine. Her mother came from Ireland. And her father Levi worked at the Newton Copper Mine there in Ione. And Wesley married Eliza, and their children, which one of those became my grandmother Mary. And at that time, they lived up on Pioneer Creek Road in Pioneer, and there was a Ruggles sawmill up there that all the older boys worked at. Well, my grandfather, Louis Brown, whose family came from Valparaiso, Chile, and hit Calaveras County and McCallumy Hill in about 1849. The father had died, and the mother had moved to Sandy Gulch. So my grandfather Louis, a young man, he walked from Sandy Gulch down the mountain, across the river, up the hill, then up to Pioneer Creek to work at the sawmill. And he worked with Mary's brothers went past the house, and so he'd seen her, met her, and they got married. And then after they were married, they moved to a little town which is no longer there anymore. It's between Pioneer and the river down at the bottom, going towards West Point, called Defender.
Oh, Defender.
Defender.
Okay.
And my mother and her brother, Alfred, were both born in Defender, but it's not listed anywhere. And then they moved from there down to closer to Pine Grove at a place that used to be called Ide's Corner. I'm not for sure what it's called anymore. But she ran a boarding house, and she cooked the pies for the restaurant at Pioneer Station. I guess she was known everywhere for her pies. She was a fabulous cook. And then they moved from there down closer to Pine Grove, and their house burnt down. It's across from where I think there's a Napa Auto Parts store across the street from there now, but that's all new. There used to be a sidewalk that went from the highway to their house that burned down. And by then, my mom had met my dad. My dad worked for PG&E. And we lived down at the bottom of Taboo at a place called Spring Gulch. And it was right on the canal. And you had to walk into it. You didn't just drive up to the house. You had to park way down, and you had to walk all your groceries or whatever in. But I can remember coming with my mom, driving this old car down the road, and we stopped at that sidewalk that went up to the house, and the house is burning. And right out on the edge of the sidewalk were some pieces of furniture. One was a dresser, and on top of that dresser were three fresh baked pies. I can remember somebody saved the pies. But anyway, they moved from there down into what is now where Smalley's Saw Shop is in Pine Grove.
Okay.
That's the house that my grandma and grandpa Brown lived in for many, many years. And I had contracted tuberculosis, so I was in bed for 3 years. No television, radio was in another room. I mean, I don't know, you know. I'm not for sure how I survived those 3 years.
So you were little.
I was seven. 7 to 10, I was in bed.
Wow.
And my mom had to go to work. My dad's had the inner blood vessels of his eyes were breaking. And he had to be in a darkened room laying down for a year.
Oh, my goodness.
So my grandma took care of my dad and myself. My mom went to work. My grandpa also worked for PG&E, and so we lived there until my dad was better, and I was probably in the fourth grade when I went back to school. In about the fifth grade, my dad bought a piece of property down Ridge Road, which is now Ridge Road and Toma Lane. It's right in that area, and he built a house there. We had no electricity. Had the little old box on the back porch that you put the blocks of ice into. Mm-hmm. You had the kerosene lanterns. You know, no telephone. We didn't have a telephone until I was a sophomore in high school. We didn't have television. There used to be a place in Pine Grove, a restaurant, and we would go up there and eat and watch television if we wanted to see a program because that's all there was. And I went there, we were 2 miles from Pine Grove, and I can remember being like in the sixth grade, so I was, 11, 12 years old. I could ride my bicycle to Pine Grove, providing I stopped every time a car went by, and I could make it in 2 stops.
Wow.
And now you can't even get out onto Ridge Road with, but that's the way that went. And I don't know.
Okay, this is a good spot. Let me just see if I got the family tree right, because I want to make sure we've got these names in here. These are wonderful stories. So first, Amanda Nichols, her husband dies. So she's really, she comes the rest of the way by herself and her kids.
Right.
And she's a early cattle rancher woman.
Right.
Which was really unique in those days. So she is definitely the start. I'm glad you started with her. So one of her sons was Wesley.
Mm-hmm.
Wesley marries Eliza Jane Goss.
Right, correct.
Okay. And they have a daughter named Mary, who is your grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And she, what was her husband's name?
Louis Brown.
Okay, so Mary and Louis. Okay, excellent. And then they had two children, which was your mother?
Edith.
Okay. And your dad's name?
Pat. Pat Dunn.
Pat Dunn. So they had, going back to that time when you and your dad were both sick, that was a pretty rough time for your family, I would have to guess.
It was during the rationing time. It was during the war time. And I still have 4 or 5 of what was left of the ration books, because they got so much for me because I was small. I required a certain amount. And then because my mom was the one that was working, she got more, and my grandpa, they got more than my grandma and them. But I still have the ration books.
Interesting. Now, were you an only child?
I was an only child.
You were only child. And TB, now they kept you at home?
They kept me at home.
Because the stories I've heard of a lot of TB in those days, they sent them away. They were concerned about it being contagious.
They sent them to Weimar.
Weimar
Sanitarium, which is up north.
So your family made a choice to say, no, we're going to keep her here. We'll take care of her. We'll do whatever we need to do.
I guess that's what, I'm not for sure. But there was another man, and his name was Louis Perini, that my grandmother, after I was there, she started taking care of him in a back room. He also had tuberculosis, and they sent him to Weimar. And he died there. Now, they said, I contacted mine through drinking unpasteurized cow's milk. Because they found it when they went to take my appendix out. That's when they found mine.
Oh, interesting.
Now, whether or not I actually got it from that, or did I catch it from that man, I'll never know.
So, do you remember being really ill, or just the fact that you had to lie down for 3 years, pretty much?
I just remember being in bed. They had some kind of a lamp, like an infrared lamp that they had to put on me twice a day. I guess that was my sunlight.
Okay.
Use. Okay. And I can remember having a cardboard box of comic books that sat by my bed. And I had some little storybook dolls. And I had some books that when you opened them up, it's like everything jumped up on the page, so it made it dimensional.
Okay.
And I used my imagination, and that's how I entertained myself.
And you know, when you were well enough, you jumped back into school, so someone must have been giving you some homeschooling.
The teacher was bringing work
to
me at home, and I was doing it at home. Because when I went back, I was right in the grade I was supposed to be.
Excellent.
And Fred Joyce was my teacher at that time, who
is
a fantastic man. And he almost had to beat the multiplication tables into me. And up until just a few months even before he died, every time I saw that man after all these years, he would comment on the multiplication tables. He remembered.
You struggling with those.
Yeah.
Well, that must mean you went to that little schoolhouse then, right on in Pine Grove?
Right, when it was up where the new school is now.
Oh, so they moved that building.
Right, it was.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, it was up there. And during that period of time after I went in, it would have been the 6th or 7th grade, so it would have probably been 49 or 50, they started building a dam down in the bottom of Taboo area there, and they moved all the construction people in, and where the area now where the post office is in Pine Grove, through that whole area was just one huge trailer park. because all the people came in their trailers.
To build the dam.
To build the dam. And then that put a lot of people in the school, a lot of extra kids. And about that time is when Thronberg, down at the bottom of Pine Grove Hill, going towards where they call Art Park, that area, built a sawmill down there.
Okay.
And so there was Thronbergs and Foyles and Adamses and Cutsingers, all came from the Arkansas-Oklahoma area, and they started running that sawmill. So our little school that was real tiny, then they had to add on a Quonset hut,
mm-hmm.
which is a big, long, round building, and we had two classes. It was divided in half, so we had two separate classes going there besides the little schoolhouse. And it was a big deal in those days. The little church in Pine Grove burned down. I can't remember what year it was, but I know that the whole entire school, we walked down the opposite side of the road with our teacher, and we all stood across the street and watched the church burn down. I mean, that was a big thing.
And so it sounds like homes and churches and school, I mean, buildings caught fire easily, but it didn't decimate the whole area. So basically the structure would burn down and kind of fizzle out, or would people fight it, or would they?
Well, there were people that were fighting it,
uh-huh.
but it was just such a thing for us kids to go see. I mean, right,
sure.
now you wouldn't take a group of kids
to go see a fire.
Yeah,
yeah, a real one, much
yeah.
less.
But I remember we just stood, you know, across the street and watched it burn. They were trying to put it out, but
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was just a dirt sidewalk across the street. There was, you know, wasn't a real sidewalk. It was just dirt.
That is very interesting. I didn't realize they had moved that little school building.
Mm-hmm.
So that was there, and Fred Joyce was your first teacher.
He was.
That is cute.
Mrs. Madrell was my, I believe, fourth grade teacher. And then said Fred Joyce was the older teacher. And I can remember when I was in about the fifth grade, some eighth grade girl had done something outside during a recess, and it was like a basketball area. It was just hard path mud, but she had done something wrong. And I can remember seeing him holding her under his arm, bringing her back into the building. And I thought, I'll never do anything wrong. I won't. And you watch the kids nowadays, and you see what they could care less.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever she had done wrong, he was reprimanding her for it, and I thought,
hey, they meant business. Huh?
Yeah, and I wasn't going to do, oh, yeah, that was it. So I graduated from out of Pine Grove School, and there was four of us, and we were such a small group, then we combined with Volcano. So it was Volcano and Pine Grove joint graduation.
Oh, okay, okay. And then did you come down to Jackson for high school?
Sutter Creek. Sutter Creek, and then it turned to Amador the next year.
Okay. I want to stop there for just a second and talk a little bit, too, about your mom having to go to work. Now, was that pretty unusual in those days for a woman to be out working?
It was.
Okay. And so what kind of job did she...
She was working over in Calaveras County at a place called the Box Factory. I'm not for sure if... I think they made... If they made boxes, it was called the Box Factory.
So she had to drive all the way over there every
right.
day and back.
And there were other women from here that she worked with. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
One of her ladies that she drove with, and this is just something I remember is just hearing bits and pieces as a kid because it was never really talked about. Was one of the madams.
Oh!
from down at the little log cabin where Bank of America is now. She'd had to go to work, too.
Uh-huh. So they would all kind of carpool together. Okay. And do you remember that being, was your mom before that a homemaker?
Yes.
Or, So this was not her dream of getting out and going to work, and
no.
It was the family did what they had to do to get through those times.
Said my dad was the ditch tender, and we lived right on the ditch there, the canal area, and it was way far away from everybody, and it was just, we were just down there, just down in this spot,
mm-hmm.
which he took me back down in that area years later after the dam was all gone, the house was gone, but it was a really interesting house. And I had been told when I was little, never ever to go off the porch, never unless an adult was with me, because about 15 feet in front of the porch is where the water was coming in. If you've ever seen those, they go really fast, and it was really hard going past there. And I can remember one day, my dad was working in the basement underneath the house, and I wanted to go see what he was doing, so I went off the porch and around the side and went in down there to visit him, and he says, "Does your mom know you're here?" And I said, "Uh-huh." And he let me stay there for a little bit, and then we went back up, and I went out on the side yard where there was some grass, and I remember I had a mason jar, and I was catching grasshoppers. And I saw him come out of the door in from the house heading my way, and I knew I'd had it. And that's the only spanking I can ever remember my dad ever giving me.
Because he was afraid it
yeah.
was out of, you got to be safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was. I've seen that water go, and it goes. It's ferocious. And it was just right there in front of the house.
So, ditch tender. So, you're talking about the Taboo Lake, the
mm-hmm.
canals that go off of that. They hired people to make sure those were cleared and the brush was cut back.
Right.
Or?
He had a bicycle that he rode,
oh.
and it was like hard-packed, like a levee, that went for miles. And he rode a bicycle. And he checked to make sure that there weren't any animals in the water
mm-hmm.
or anything stopping the flow, any debris of any kind. And he came home one day with a little tiny baby fawn in his backpack because the mom had been killed. And we raised that with our goats. And it, it slept on the foot of my bed.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was 7 when I left there, so I was still pretty little. And when my mom, in those days, there wasn't a hospital in Jackson. She had to be taken to Stockton to have me born. And I was born in a hospital in Stockton that's no longer there. It was called Van Nuys Hospital. And it's been gone. Now there's a McDonald's sitting in its spot. But yeah, my dad worked for PG&E, my Uncle Alfred worked for PG&E, my grandpa worked for PG&E. And I said my grandma ran a boarding house when they lived up at the Ides Corner area, and she still had one of the men named Bill Laux, who was still living with them when they lived there where Smalley's Saw Shop is now. And in those days, when you went to the movies on Friday night, you got your tickets. And you had the big screen up in front there with downtown Jackson at the theater with the big red velvet curtains.
Mm-hmm.
And across the whole front of the stage were mixers and toasters and dishes and pots and pans and anything you could think of. All this stuff. Appliance kind of stuff. And after the movie was over, the curtains would close and the lights would come on. And some man would get up there, and he would have your ticket stubs. And he would call numbers. And if your number, whatever they were having at that time. So Bill Laux won a set of dishes. And because he was a bachelor, and whatever, he gave them to my grandma. And a few weeks before she had died, which was 1968, she gave those to me.
Oh, my goodness.
And right now they're packed in a closet in here for my granddaughter. Whenever she gets a house of her own, she's taking those dishes.
Wow.
But the dishes were like our salad plates now. I mean, they were much smaller than what we eat off nowadays. And they had beautiful little pink flowers around them. But that's one of the things. He won a whole set of dishes.
My goodness. I never heard that. Do you know if that was typical for theaters in those days?
I don't know. I just know that every Friday night, that's what happened here in Jackson.
That was a good night to go to the theater. Okay, and then stepping back, one more question. I should have started at the beginning. We're talking about family coming from Georgia, and I think you said someone from Maine, one of the ancestors. Did they come to California looking for gold? Do you know? Did they ever talk about what the...
I know the Nichols family because they were farmers in Georgia.
Okay.
I know they came for the farming.
Okay.
The Araya side, which is where my Grandpa Brown, that was his mother, was Araya. They came from Chile, but they came for the gold.
Okay.
That's what they had come for.
And you said one of them worked in the copper mines.
That was the Goss, Levi Goss, that came from Maine.
Okay.
And I'm really not for sure. I know that would have been Eliza Jane's father. Okay, Levi Goss married Mary Nolte, and she'd come from Ireland, and they were married in Amador County in 1860. In fact, they were married in Ione. And all the information I have on Levi came from the Maine Library, and it's all his family. And then it just dropped off with him because he went to California and nobody ever knew what happened to him. So which I have somewhat been working on over the years is to try to determine all of his lineage that I want to get in a good condition and send back to the library in Maine so that family will know.
What happened to him?
Yeah. So I'm assuming he worked at the copper mine. I don't know what he came here for.
Okay. So when you think of your childhood, you've talked about the schooling a little bit and the fun on Friday nights. Now, with you living so far out, it was probably mostly family that you spent time with?
Right. Well, so we lived growing up after we moved into our own house and my dad built the house. We lived 2 miles from Pine Grove. And for years, I was the only kid in the whole area.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up with adults. To go to school, we had some kind, and I don't know what kind of a car it was, I just know it was square and it was blue, that we had to go out in the mornings and you had to get the crank and you had to stick it in the front of the car and crank the car up to make it go, and my mom would drive me to school.
Okay.
And then later years, the Toma family moved, Cyril and Nell Toma moved up here and started a store in Pine Grove. And they lived across the street from us. And because they were going to the, or he was, Sarah was going to the store every day, then I would walk across the street and I would go ride with him to school.
And so most of your friends then you met through school.
Right, and I would just be devastated if I didn't get to go to school.
Oh.
Because that was my whole social life.
And when your dad, fortunately then, he was able to be cured from his eye disease.
He was never cured. He survived. He was blind in one eye.
Hmm.
And kind of part, he had a little bit of trouble with the other, but he was still able to drive.
So he did go back to work, though.
He did go back to work, and when he retired, he was the supervisor for the county road department. So he was still functioning. My mom went to work at, later on, after I was been in school for a period of time, she went to work for what used to be Mago Gas, which is down in Martell. And she worked there for quite a few years.
So she kept working even after he went back to work?
After he went to work. She kept working. That's when I was in, high school.
Okay. So I love the story about the theater. Were there other things going on in Jackson or Pioneer or Volcano, anywhere that were annual events or that you remember going
to? Well, I mean, they always had the Italian picnic.
Okay.
The Italian picnic was always something that you went to. And to go to on Saturdays with my grandma. We would come to Jackson to do her grocery shopping. And you'd go into the butcher store. And you always, the kids always got a hot dog. Now, it was cold, came right out of the refrigerator section, and he would just hand it over the counter, and you just ate it.
Oh,
you know, you didn't cook it, you didn't worry about botulism or anything, you just ate the hot dog. And then it was always a treat. We would go down and have lunch at the Louvre, which was underneath the Wells Fargo. I mean, that was the big restaurant in Jackson. And I always had a hot roast beef sandwich. And that's where you went when you went on a date or before the prom or whatever.
Okay.
You went to the Louvre. That was the place to go.
How do you spell that?
L-O-U-V-R-E.
L-O-U-V-R-E. Okay, so there was a restaurant under the Wells Fargo Bank.
Right. You first walked into a bar area, and they always had somebody in there playing the piano. And then you walked through the bar into the back area, and there was a restaurant there.
Oh.
Which also had a back entrance that came up onto the old highway, which it wasn't like it is now, but it was a highway area there.
What else do you remember on Jackson's Main Street? Any other stores or business? So the butcher shop was down there.
Garibaldi's photo studio was there. That's where everybody went to have their senior pictures taken. That's where you got your film developed. They had a little soda shop across the street from the theater, where with the little old-fashioned stools and everything, where you went to have ice cream. I know they had a drugstore. I remember going into the drugstore. Over Hein and Company, there's a section of building over the top. And on the very left of the building, there were steps that went upstairs. Now, I don't know if those stairs are still there or not. But up above was Dr. Williams. And he was the doctor that we went to. And I can remember when I was 4, I had to have my tonsils out. And I can remember walking up the stairs, and the next thing I remember, I'm laying on the bed in his surgical area with a brown washcloth coming down over my face. That's what I remember about getting my tonsils out. That was a brown washcloth. And then the next thing, my grandma, my dad's mother, lived on Jackson Gate Road, and she ran a maternity home. And I can remember them taking me there, and I was standing on the bed because they had left me. They were going home for something. And my throat was sore, and I'm standing on the bed, and I'm screaming bloody murder because my mom and dad were leaving me, and my throat hurt. But anyway, yeah, she ran a maternity home there for quite a few years. And I can remember my dad building some of the cribs that she used there.
So for like single women or?
Just anybody woman.
Anybody who was going to have a baby
any woman
could come and stay with
could
her.
Could come and stay with her.
And was she a nurse then too, or she would bring in medical people for that part of it?
No, she just did it. She was a midwife for the Indian Reservation in Utah. That's where my dad was born, was in Utah. And they moved from Utah. She had 4 sons at that time from Colorado in some kind of a car that had wheels that I guess just had air in them. They weren't like the wheels are now on the cars. And so the boys had to walk in front of the car and throw the rocks and stuff out of the road so she could drive down the road. And they stopped. They stopped in Sacramento by the Capitol. That was one of the places they stopped. And then where the pink apartments are going into Sutter Creek, on the left-hand side as you're going down into Sutter Creek, there was a big grove of trees there. They stopped there, and they camped for a period of time. And then her oldest son, Jack Dunn, who had Jack Dunn Well Drilling in Pine Grove, went to work at the cement plant over in Calaveras County and became friends with a couple guys who had a single dad who met my grandma, and they got married and they lived together for quite a few years. His name was Christopher Columbus Green. My dad was Patrick Henry. That was his name. But he had said she had run that maternity home, and it had been, because she had been the midwife back there, she just knew what to do.
Just did it, yeah.
She had, one day, the old fans didn't have the cover on the front, and it just had the blades that went around. And how she did it, I don't know, but she was in her kitchen, and that was over here on Jackson Gate. Got her hand stuck in there, passed out on the floor, came to, her hand was all kind of mangled and bloody, and she was a seamstress. She sewed for everybody in the county. She got her needle and thread and her old blue medicine she used to put on everything when you got hurt, and sewed herself up.
Oh my goodness.
Uh-huh. And to the day she died, she had one finger that was crooked because it had kind of wanged the bone.
And tell me her full name again, then.
She was Sarah Green.
Sarah Green. Okay. And so your dad's last name then was
Dunn.
Dunn. Okay.
Yeah.
And do you know how your folks met?
Well, my mom had quit school before she graduated, and went to work at Plaza's Resort.
Okay.
And that's where she met my dad. And he used to come, I don't know how long they dated, I really don't know any of that. Other than he was riding a motorcycle.
A motorcycle?
He had a motorcycle.
Ah.
So, and then he had got the job as for PG&E being the ditch tender, and that's where they ended up.
Very good. I think I'm going to turn this off here for a second. Okay, we're going to go to the next section and kind of talk about, you said you left the area for a little while. So how did that come to be?
Well, it was 1961, and I just wanted to get away for a bit, and I had relatives that lived in Lathrop. I got a job at Defense Depot Tracy, and so I moved down there and went to work. Actually, to back up, the reason I had gone there, I had got married right out of high school, and a few months after high school, and I was married for almost 2 years, and my husband died,
oh,
and my son was 13 months old.
Oh.
And he had worked at Barry Sawmill, and it was his job as night watchman to go across a bridge over the water where all the logs and everything was. It was just a wooden platform, wooden boards is what it was. It wasn't actually a bridge. And you had to turn a switch off to turn the smokestacks off. And he was afraid of the water. And he misstepped somehow and went into the water, and they said he died of fright.
Oh.
So.
And what was his name?
Gene Park. So, after a period of time, a friend of mine was going to go to Sacramento and go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, I'd always wanted to be a nurse. Maybe I'd go do that. So, we went to Sacramento, and I went over to talk to the nursing school people. And then I went over to the, and it was in those days it was called the Automation Business School. And it was a key punch machine, prelude to computers.
Uh-huh.
And she went in to take the test, and there wasn't anybody else there. And the lady said, well, I was there. Why don't I just go ahead and take the test for fun? And I did better than she did.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to school to do that. And so then that ended up, that's why I went to work at Defense Depot Tracy. That's what I did. I did key punching. And then I had met my second husband and got pregnant with my daughter and quit, went back to work again, and then we finally moved back here. back to Pine Grove because he liked it up here really well.
So did you feel drawn back to Amador County, or it didn't really matter?
Not at that time.
No?
Not at that time. At that time, I didn't want to come back because I had a few unhappy things happen, and I just didn't want to come back to live. But because he did, I did. And because he wanted to move on to Idaho later on in years, we were in Idaho for a few months, and then he died. And then within 4 days, I was back in Amador County. So I guess Amador County did draw me back.
So that's where the Mosher comes in.
Right. That's where I was living in Stockton at the time. And that's where I met my second husband. He was in the Navy.
Okay.
Getting ready to retire from the Navy.
Okay. So two children.
Two children.
Did they both stay here in Amador County?
The oldest son lives in Idaho.
Oh.
And my daughter lives here.
Okay.
She and her husband rented a house a few blocks from here about 10 years ago, and they sold the house. And so they moved in here for a period of time till they could find somewhere to live. And because they had already been kind of doing their house and this house with yard work and stuff, we just decided to pull it. And they had still had three kids at home when they moved in. And so we've gone through quite a few kids in this house, and now we're into the, watching the great-grandkids. But family, I mean, The Waltons was always a favorite movie of mine growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the family, just being together,
mm-hmm.
is very important.
Yeah, and it works for you, so.
Oh, yeah.
Makes it easy. Let's talk a little bit about how the county has changed, and you can talk about any topic, anything you would like. We've discussed a little bit about, that road wasn't there, or 88 probably wasn't there when you were young, or 49, or just how the town has changed, the businesses, anything about it. What do you think?
Well, there are just a lot of new people. I mean, a lot of people compared to, like I said, I could make that bicycle trip in two stops on Ridge Road, and now you can't do that. Pine Grove was just a tiny little town. The post office moved two or three different places that I can remember. The cemeteries, I mean, there's a lot of, I've got a lot of family in a lot of the cemeteries here. And all of the different ones. But the Grandma Nichols, the grandma that came with all of her children, that the one was my great-grandfather, one of her daughters married a Robert Adams, who was a sheriff here in Jackson. And the child that was born was James Nichols. When she got here to Amador County, he became constable here in Jackson for a long time. So there was a lot of people that, and said with all the cattle and everything, there was a lot to do with that. The town, it's hard to remember because Jackson was the main street. I mean, you drove through, you went through Jackson to go from one end to the place to the other. You didn't go through the highway. Pine Grove itself only had the one store until the Tomas moved up here, and then they had two stores. The Alpino Club, as it is now, or Giannini's as it is now, used to be called the Alpino Club, and it used to be then it was the Pine Grove Hotel.
Oh, that was a hotel.
It was in the very, very beginning. At one time I can remember going there and eating Chinese food. So they had a restaurant there. There's a lot of places that are gone. At the corner of Highway 88 and Ridge Road was a service station that was called Albert's Corner. And there was a garage where you got your cars worked on. And then this little grocery store. And I've got some receipts in the other room that you went in and you bought something and they wrote it down on a little receipt book, and it was milk, maybe was a quarter, and a pack of cigarettes or whatever, and then you went in and you paid at the end of the month.
Okay, so they kept a tab.
A tab, and you went in and you paid for it later.
Interesting way to do business.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of the stores did that.
So they had to keep books on every. Do you remember keeping your own books so you kind of knew what you owed? Or
I don't. I'm sure my mom and dad
your
did.
Mom
I never.
Did, yeah.
Yeah.
So they would keep books, and do you know if they would send a bill? Does that ring a bell?
I don't remember bills. I think you just knew you owed it and you went in and paid it. I can remember in high school, so that would have been in the 50s, driving, and I was 16 when I got my driver's license, and so I was driving down Ridge Road, and I needed gas, and there where the trading post is now was the service station, and I can remember getting 25 cents worth of gas. Just 25 cents, that's all it was.
Uh-huh.
And that had to have taken me quite a ways.
When you were talking about the theater in Jackson, what building was the theater in? Is it still there? Do you know?
No, it's gone.
It's gone?
I haven't been downtown Jackson in quite a while. I think it's just an empty hole. If you're driving through Jackson from this direction, it was on your right-hand side. And I think it was either an empty lot or just like a big empty hole down in the ground.
Okay.
But it had your fancy seats, you know, your what they call the loge seats or the mm-hmm. whatever, and you paid extra for those. They were nicer seats. But we went there. You either went there or you went to Placerville, and this was in high school years, this was in the 50s. You went to Placerville to the drive-in.
Oh, okay.
That was your two choices. And, well, back in the day, too, when still in grammar school, so that was in the late 49, 50, 51, in that area, in the Pine Grove Park, they used to, on the weekends, would set up a big movie screen.
Oh.
And you could either sit in your car if you were able to park close enough, or you put blankets out on the ground or whatever, and you watched a movie. I can remember doing that.
Do you remember there being dances when you were like in high school, or was it just school dances?
Grammar school, my mom and dad went to, you went to the Volcano Town Hall, you went to the Pine Grove Town Hall, River Pines, Fiddletown, they all had dances.
Really?
And Okay. Everybody went. I went. I was just a kid, and I went, and my dad would dance with me, or somebody else would dance with me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were never neglected.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there was drinking going on, but it wasn't a problem.
So kind of the whole community was just what you did.
Right, that's what you did. And even in high school when I was dating, I can remember going up to River Pines with my one special boyfriend lived down in that area, and going up in the Shenandoah Valley and different places to dances.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember there being a lot of contention when you were in high school, particularly between Sutter Creek and Jackson or the high schools?
Oh, yeah.
Or
I think it's always been.
It has always. So that goes way back.
Oh, yeah. That goes way back. And if you were an Amador girl dating a Jackson guy, or whichever way it
mm-hmm.
went,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it was okay, but you know what? That's not right, you know. But it did happen, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I've got some good friends that, you know, that married those opposites, and even to this day, there's still some conversation between the two of them, between Amador and Jackson, which is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. I mean, we've been out of high school over 50 years. One guy, the guy was from Jackson, she graduated with me from Amador. And there's still that little undertow there. It's not nasty or anything. It's just there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was contention there.
So you said when you look back on your childhood, you really feel like even with the hardships, it was just really a great life.
It was great.
Lots of family in the area, or at least some family in the area to help out when things got rough, and were neighbors. Was it a real strong sense of community too?
I feel it was, especially where my grandma lived there in Pine Grove. I said where Smalley's Sauce Shop is, and now next door to her was S.D. Dietrich, and that's where I think the Owl's Nest, well, used to be the Owl's Nest. I don't know if it's still that or not. But I remember going over there, well, it was my grandma's neighbor. On the one side, I think, is a beauty shop now. And in that house lived, the lady on the wall lived her sister, Abby Courtright. She was one of the ones, when the boys went out looking for food, they ran into the Courtright family. So she lived there with her son, Alfred Questo, because she had married a Questo. And so that was my grandma's aunt on one side, and then on the other side was her good friend, which was S.D. Dietrich. And I can remember going with her over to the house, and we called her Aunt S.D. In her kitchen, she would pull down this big wooden frame from the ceiling, and then they would get their chairs, and they would sit, and they would quilt. They did the quilting. And then when they were all done, then the big frame went back up to the ceiling. And she lived in a big two-story house with stairs, beautiful stairs that went up, and it just bothered me so much that I couldn't go upstairs and prowl through her upper part. She didn't walk up there anymore. It had been years since she'd been upstairs. But even though I was young, I just thought, that's a place I wanted to go.
Uh-huh. And
I wanted
it wasn't
to see
allowed.
What was there. Oh, you couldn't go up there, no.
Yeah.
But it was something I wanted to do.
Interesting. So lots of good memories. Lots of good memories. Let me see let me put this on pause here. So we're talking about religion and the different churches in the area. So your family wasn't real involved in any of that?
They weren't involved in that church that burned down, which was a Methodist church there by the park in Pine Grove. I can remember, after I'd had the tuberculosis and now I'm allowed back out and I was able to go back to school, and my grandma saw that I was taken across the street to the church, and it was before Christmas time, and we were given these little pink candles that we were supposed to be able to walk down an aisle with to do some kind of a Christmas program of some kind. And I can remember we got to take the little candles home until it was time, and coming home and my dad sitting down on the back cement steps of my grandma's house with me and telling me that I had to go back to bed for a period of time.
Oh,
and I can remember sitting there just breaking that candle into little bitty pieces. And I don't know how long I had to go back to bed for. I don't remember. It wasn't a long period of time. But after that, I don't remember going back into church until I was in high school, and then I liked some guy that was Catholic, so I decided I needed to go to the Catholic church, which was up by the courthouse here in Jackson. And then I started going back to the little church that they rebuilt there in Pine Grove. But my grandma became very involved in the church. And I've got all kinds of little pins that she earned for whatever, for attending Sunday school and all those.
So that was the Pine Grove Methodist Church?
Yeah, at that time it was a Methodist church, and then I think it just maybe went non-denominational.
Okay, the community or something.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you remember religion and the churches and what church you went to, or was it a big thing as far as families?
It could have been. It just wasn't in ours.
Wasn't in yours, okay. And how about Do you remember it being really important what your nationality was, or your, you know, your, like, were you German or, you know, do you remember Italian or it being
really
important?
I don't remember that.
No?
I don't remember that being a major thing.
Okay.
And just a tiny thing to go back to going to I just thought of to going to Jackson on Saturdays to get the groceries. On the way home going up 88, there was a little tiny wooden building on the right-hand side of the road, and I think a portion of it is still there. It's across from, I believe, Oneto's, because the man's name was, I believe, Joe Oneto, or he could have been a Joe Cuneo. But they called him Cucumber Joe. And he sold fresh vegetables.
Oh, okay.
And so we always stopped there and bought fresh vegetables. And then later on in time, he drove a little black pickup that had a cover over the back that was like a black, it was a black cover and was open through all the sides. And he would drive through Pine Grove and he would stop in front of your house and honk.
Okay.
And then you could go down and buy vegetables from him.
Was he the farmer, or he got the vegetables from
somewhere? It was from his family. And that house, it's still there. It sits down under the road. It's a white house with a, it's like a big two-story.
Hmm.
But he was called Cucumber Joe.
Oh, cute. Oh, cute. Well, this has been excellent. Any other stories that you're thinking of, or you've done a wonderful job of weaving together actually the whole county? It seems that a lot of people are more familiar with just Jackson or Sutter Creek, but you've kind of introduced the whole Pine Grove area and how much that has changed. And so when you and your grandma were going to Jackson shopping, you were in that car that you had to wind up. Or
right, and we went from Pine Grove, and you came down Ridge Road, and then you turned on to whatever road it is that comes out by the Kit Carson Convalescent Hospital.
Oh, New York Ranch
New
Road.
New York Ranch Road.
Okay.
That's how we came down.
Okay.
That was the drive to get to Jackson.
That must have been a pretty interesting drive. Must have taken a little while.
It did. Back when they were, my grandma and grandpa were running that boarding house up at Ide's Corner, I can remember them talking about somebody getting sick. And the doctor was in Ione, and that's where a lot of their family, that's where the Nichols family were. They had to get in the buckboard, and they would drive to Ione and go to the doctor, and then because it took the whole day to get there, then you had to spend the night with the relatives.
Okay.
And then drive back the next day. And the grandma that's on the wall was, I guess, very short-statured, and very round. And they lived when she was still had little kids up above, up in the Mace Meadows area, because her husband was working, he'd worked at that Ruggles sawmill and then he worked at Mace Meadows, of which I've got a really neat picture of 1898 of the sawmill up there, or the logs coming down. But it snowed, and I guess the snow was really deep. And they had to get out of the house and come down lower to other relatives. And she had a baby in arms. So her husband and the older boys took boards and laid a board in front of the house. And her and the baby walked on that board. And then they took another board and put it in front of that one. And they just kept moving boards
the
until they could get out to where they could get to the horse and wagon in order to get further down country.
Wow.
But
so now tell me again, while the tape recorder's on, I'm going to try and take some pictures of the pictures. So on the left is your grandma, and that was...
She would have... Her maiden name was Goss, and then she married a Nichols. And then after he had died, she married another man named Romberg, which I never knew. I never knew him. I don't remember. She was in a car wreck in 1940. I guess it was after I was born, somewhere down in Sacramento, and the car caught fire. And so she was killed there.
And that's Mary.
And that was Eliza Jane.
That's Eliza Jane. Okay.
Eliza Jane.
I didn't go that far enough. And then the next picture is...
The next picture is my mom, Edith, and her brother, Alfred.
Okay. And then the
and then my last one is my mom.
Your mom. Okay. I'm going to try and take pictures of the pictures. Excellent. So somebody donated... Not her. It would have been her mother's side saddle then, right?
Right.
Her mother would have been the Amanda Nichols. Okay. Wow. So I wonder if that's still on display. That would be pretty interesting.
Is the museum still open?
They're trying to... Actually, that's a good question. They're trying to get it back open. They're painting, and they had the structural stuff done that had to be... done so that it could be safe for the public.
Well, 1972, and my daughter was in the third grade, and she was in Scouts. So about 1973, we took Girl Scouts through the museum. And at that time, there was a room to your left as you went in the museum, and Amanda's wooden writing desk was in there, and her side saddle was hanging somewhere up high inside. And I've always wanted to go back and see if it was still there. I'd like to go take pictures of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because
wouldn't that be neat?
That was something that, you know, that she touched, that they touched.
It sounds like the women in your family were strong women.
They were.
She obviously lost a husband and kept coming and was pregnant. And then starts a farm and rides a horse and participates. Your grandma sounded like she was kind of a kick, kind of a neat gal, the one who ran the boarding house. And actually, and your other grandma.
And my dad's mother.
Yeah.
She was very, very, very strong.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You figure to have done everything that she did. When she lived, they moved to Ione from out here where she did the maternity home. They moved to Ione. And when she was 80, she took her wheelbarrow and went down the path and over the hill, wherever she went, to somebody's vegetable garden, and picked enough tomatoes that she came back and she canned 80 quarts of tomatoes for her 80th birthday.
Wow.
And she was put into the convalescent home over here in Jackson when she was 90. And that's because she was supposed to be taking certain kinds of medication, and she had forgot, and then it did something to her memory, and she died at 94 over here. But my Uncle Jack, the one that was had the well drilling in Pine Grove, was a tall man and a big man. And my grandma used to crochet afghans. I mean, beautiful afghans. So that she was a beautiful seamstress. She did embroidery.
Mm-hmm.
She did dolls. You walk into her living room, and it was like walking into a kid's tea party.
Oh.
Because here were all these dolls, and they were all dressed. I mean, just her house was just filled. And I love dolls. I've got lots of dolls on my own. But he had asked her one day, and all he said was, "Mama, could you make afghans a little bit longer, because when I lay down they don't cover me." Well, in her mind, it took, I don't know how many, but say take it, it took 10 skeins to make an afghan. So she continued, she used 10 skeins to make an afghan, and I've got one of those in the bedroom. It's about maybe 2.5 feet wide, 10 feet long. And she continued to do that. You could not make her understand that, no, that's not what you were supposed to be doing. It covered him from head to toe, but didn't go across him.
He needed to not gain any weight.
But she was a tough lady. She was really tough. All my grandmothers were.
Well, and your mom.
And my mom
the
was.
The illness. She did what she had to do to go to work and find a job and drive all the way to Calaveras. And
then years later, after my dad died, he died in 1977. They had just moved to Arizona, so she decided to stay there. And so now she is in her 70s. She's younger than I am right now, just by a little bit. She became one of the dancing grandmas.
Well,
that did the little tights and the little foo-foo stuff, and they went marching down the street and did their tap dancing and did all that. She just...
So that was something she learned when she was older?
Yeah,
how to
when
dance
she was
and
older.
And found something that really gave her joy, mm-hmm. and she had fun
she
with it.
She lived in a trailer park where they had, like, massive amount of people, and they were all her age, and they played cards, and she did learn ballroom dancing, and just... She just enjoyed life.
Excellent. Excellent. What's your favorite part of Amador County, living here? What draws you or keeps you here? What is your favorite thing about it?
Well, I think, it used to be the peacefulness of it. It's not so mm-hmm. much that anymore. To me, it's just home. It's mm-hmm. I know I graduated from high school with, there's still a lot of those people still here. When I was in Idaho, and said when my husband died, within 4 days, the U-Haul was back in Amador County, and in about less than a week, when everything was all done up there, I was back in Amador County. It's my family's here.
Mm-hmm.
This is where my family is. So I would. It's my family.
Mm-hmm.
And if they go away, I guess I'll go away, because I wouldn't want to be here without them.
Mm-hmm.
But yet there's a lot of my dad's worked in the mine that's right over the hill here, the Argonaut. He worked the Argonaut and the Kennedy, and I can remember him telling stories about trying to sleep. It was like little boards that they sat down on to eat their lunch way up and high in the pit, and they would lay down and take naps on those boards. I mean, you've got a long way to go below you. So my family's done a lot of stuff here in the county.
So that was before PG&E then?
Oh, yeah, that was way back before PG&E. That's when before he was ever married.
And he knew that wasn't something he wanted to do for his...
I guess not. Not for a living.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he got interested in PG&E because his father-in-law, my grandpa, was in PG&E. I don't know how I got into it. I'll never know now.
So the biggest employers in those days, or, when talking about your childhood, would have been one of the sawmills, the mines, or PG&E. Would you say
right.
those were the three
right.
biggies? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because there wasn't anything else.
Oh, and then the ranchers. So
yeah,
there were a lot of
ranches.
Would you say?
And it said my grandmother, the Nichols side, they had cattle, all kinds of cattle. And then again, it used to be the fun thing with my grandma's house there in Pine Grove, when we knew it was time to take the cattle up to the mountains. I mean, you always went out on the front porch and you always sat.
Mm-hmm.
And Dufresne's were the ones that we knew the most that ran their cattle up there from out of Ione. And it was just exciting because you sat there and you could hear them coming. You could hear the cows and the tinkling of the bells. And pretty soon you could see the cows starting to come up and then the horses and the riders. And, and then towards fall time, you'd be back out on the porch and here they'd be coming the other direction. Everybody stopped. Cars all stopped. It was no big deal. It was just something that was exciting to watch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Excellent.
Okay.